Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The news coming out of California's tech industry over the past week has been troubling, to say the least. Last Friday, Silicon Valley Bank, which caters to very high net worth investors, tech companies, and startups, went under. There was an old-fashioned run on the bank, with depositors demanding their money and the bank not having enough cash to hand out. The bank is now in the hands of federal administrators. Then this week, Facebook announced a huge number of layoffs, 10,000 workers cut in addition to previous layoffs, and thousands more positions that had been open, they're now closed. All of this on top of months of tech-related layoffs, about 100,000 in California alone, as companies readjust post-COVID economy to a financial world that is layered with high interest rates, declining profits, and a level of uncertainty that hasn't really been felt in Silicon Valley since the dot-com bust in the early 2000s. So what does this mean for California and the greater Sacramento area? We're going to start things off with CalMatters political reporter Ben Christopher with the latest on the impact of the SVB collapse. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning.
So a lot of people may have never heard of Silicon Valley Bank until this week, but it is the country's 16th largest bank. I mean, it's really like hashtag SVB this week. Why is it so deeply connected with California's tech industry?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good point. I think a lot of people had not heard of this unless you were sort of in the Silicon Valley world, but it was quite an institution. It sort of advertised itself and sort of proclaimed itself as sort of the financier of the tech economy, of the innovation economy. And so you had lots of startups, lots of investors in the sort of the VC space using this bank. But, you know, I think a lot of the coverage has understandably focused on sort of the ways in which this bank was at the center of the tech economy. But it was also, it played a big role across the Bay Area and Northern California economy in affordable housing, in the Napa wineries, and lots of industries around the region. But yeah, definitely the sort of the focus of its business was tech.
This bank has been around since the 1980s, but it's only really in recent years where it grew an extraordinary amount of essentially revenue for the bank. Why did the bank fail this week? And was this predicted or did it like literally happen overnight?
Well, I didn't predict it. I would have looked really smart if I had. But no, I think because this bank was so tied to the tech sector, we saw kind of a couple things going on. One is that there was just a huge surge in deposits for the bank over the last few years. As the tech economy kind of swelled, there was this pandemic boom in demand for services that allowed people to work from home and play from home and do all things remotely. And so that really just saw this surge in revenue across the across Silicon Valley. And so a lot of those businesses parked all the extra cash that they were getting into Silicon Valley Bank. And so you saw on the one hand, the bank just sort of, the deposits swelled. They had to figure out a place to put that money to sort of make a profit. And it looks like that what they did was sort of parked it into these longer term treasury securities and other kind of fixed income assets that they purchased in around 2021 when interest rates were really low. And of course, interest rates have ratcheted up really, really quickly over the last year. And so all of a sudden, these assets they invested in, which had these very sort of low yields, were not attractive. They lost a lot of their value. Then you see the tech sector sort of start to experience the troubles we've seen. People start drawing money out of their accounts, burning through the cash that they have in the tech sector. The bank has to look for money to sort of make do on those deposits. They sell off these assets that are all of a sudden worth much, much less. And then that's why, you know, the other Wednesday we saw the bank announce, oh, by the way, we had to sell all these assets to get cash and we lost $2 billion. That freaked a lot of people out. They started pulling money. You know, the tech economy is also kind of a very insular community. And so a lot of VCs were talking to each other and saying, oh, I don't know if this bank is going to make it. You saw some people urging people to pull money out. And that's when you get what you referred to as the sort of old fashioned bank run. Nothing sort of tech specific about it. Just people worried that they were going to be left, with their deposits not insured.
Typically, accounts are insured for, you know, $250,000. But the Biden administration says that depositors' money for SVB will be guaranteed, which means clients with hundreds of millions of dollars will get their money back. So essentially, is this a bailout?
Yeah, it's interesting. People have been sort of throwing that term around. I mean, one thing that the Biden administration has really stressed is that this this money is not coming from the taxpayers. It is coming from the FDIC's sort of levy that it puts on banks across the system. It's sort of an insurance fund for the entire financial system. And I think the idea is that by insuring all of these deposits, they won't actually have to fork out the money, because, you know, once depositors realize that they're totally covered, they won't pull out their money anymore. And so I think there's a way in which, you know, by casting this, you know, whether it's a bailout or sort of a general protection for these depositors, they're hoping that it sort of calms things enough where they won't actually have to step in with more cash.
In your reporting, Ben, you also mentioned a possible collateral damage from this bank's failure. What are some of those businesses or industries that may be vulnerable?
Yeah, so a couple things. I mean, you know, obviously there was a lot of concern initially about not just the startup land, but, you know, a lot of people in Silicon Valley were really panicking last week, basically talking about sort of this, calling this sort of an extinction level event for startups across the Bay Area. But as I mentioned, there's also a lot of people who rely on Silicon Valley Bank for affordable housing, for other kinds of, you know, regional investments. Now that the deposits have been insured, the depositors and sort of the businesses that have been using Silicon Valley Bank as their bank seem to be safe, but unclear, you know, how, you know, going forward, you know, when we're talking about loans or other kinds of investments around the Bay Area, this was sort of a niche bank. And so, you know, who's going to step in? That's a big question.
Has Governor Newsom said anything in response to this bank's failure?
Well, so he welcomed the move by the FDIC to sort of, and the federal government to sort of insure all deposits, you know. And then, you know, we talked about collateral damage. There's also implications for the state economy and the state budget in particular. As a lot of people know, the state budget, the California state gets a disproportionate amount of its revenue from highest earners. And so, you know, to the extent that Silicon Valley Bank's collapse reflects sort of a broader softening in the tech economy in Silicon Valley and the Northern California economy in general, that's not great news for the state budget. And then, you know, I'm sure they welcome the fact that, again, to the extent that there were people talking about an extinction level event across Silicon Valley, that certainly wouldn't be good for state revenues. And so, yeah, you saw a lot of concern from Gavin Newsom and a lot of Northern California, particularly Bay Area lawmakers who sort of welcome this intervention.
So we're talking about a bank failure that caters to the tech industry, in addition to a high number of tech layoffs more broadly across California's tech industry. You spoke with H.D. Palmer. He's with the California Department of Finance. He knows the budget inside and out. What does he have to say about this?
So when I spoke to him, he really urged a sense of calm, not jumping to any conclusions. You know, his point was, look, this is a single bank. Again, this might be a symptom of a general sort of softening of the Northern California economy, or certainly the tech economy, but it's not going to be a cause of any sort of broad economic crisis, certainly now that it's insured. But worth pointing out, we're still seeing the consequences of this failure play out in financial markets. There are other regional banks that investors and depositors are sort of growing wary of, First Republic in San Francisco, PacWest. And so we'll see. Obviously, if there is a broader financial crisis or a credit crunch, that wouldn't be great for the state budget. But I think, to HD's point, we're not there yet. We shouldn't jump to conclusions. And at the moment, there's no reason to think that this is going to have massive implications for the state budget that we haven't already kind of seen in the numbers.
You mentioned a really good point that SVB's failure also follows like other issues this week from Signature Bank, along with First Republic Bank. Other people who are account holders in other smaller banks are receiving emails and letters that everything is good. We're all secure. Right. You know, this isn't a sign that's going to impact us. We all have banks. We all are account holders. How should people think about this bank failure, SVB?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm a mere political reporter, not a financial reporter or a financial advisor, so I don't want to get out over my skis here. But yeah, I mean, certainly if you have less than $250,000 in a bank account, you shouldn't be worried at all. That's totally protected. If you do, lucky you. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to get into the business of financial advice, but it certainly seems like Federal regulators are paying very close attention to this. They're really doing everything they can to avoid sort of the broader contagion effects that we saw during the financial crisis of 2008. And so we'll see.
Ben, thank you so much for your political reporting.
Of course. Thanks so much.
Ben Christopher is a politics reporter for Cal Matters. We do have a link to Ben's article on our website at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. Joining us now to continue this conversation is Barry Broom with the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. Hey, Barry.
How are you?
Okay, so given that GSEC, the Greater Sacramento Economic Council, your major role is to promote the Sacramento area as just a right place for tech to come and thrive. What does the failure of SVB signal to you from a Sacramento-centric lens?
I mean, I think we're probably in better shape than the rest of the state on managing any change right now because we're not overly dependent on tech. And it's really been a recent achievement that we've started to have IPOs, the formation of Mineta Ventures, the growth factory. So, you know, sometimes not being on the cutting edge of something can help you. We've been a little bit of a late adopter on technology. So I think from our perspective, from a regional standpoint, I don't think this is going to affect us that much in the short run. What I'm really worried about in the long run is Silicon Valley Bank was the only bank that I knew that really understood how to help a tech startup with banking services. So the JP Morgan Chases and the Bank of Americas and the Wells Fargos, you know, they tended to be these large outward facing banks that only wanted institutional money, only wanted to do business with the Intels, the General Motors, the Facebooks once they were established. So I think in the short run, we're going to be fine. I'm worried in the long run, who's going to bank and finance and provide the unique set of services that this very compelling and very unique industry sector needs.
When we initially think of tech jobs, it can be limited to, you know, like the obvious low-hanging fruit, Facebook, Google, et cetera. But for those who don't work in this industry, how should we think and visualize tech jobs?
I mean, I think what they really are is it's a professional class of people that continuously improves innovation. And if you look at Solidigm, putting 2,000 engineers in Rancho Cordova, and then you're looking at Solidigm's headquarters now going into Rancho Cordova, that's a relatively new startup, per se, that's a joint venture between Intel and SK Hynix. And it's a memory technology at Intel. So the economy is run by scientists and engineers. You know, scientists create all novel discoveries, and engineers will tell you how it works. So when I think of tech jobs, I mean, it's becoming more blended across all the boards with fintech affecting banking. So it's really about the digitalization of the economy, the need to shift towards digital skills, and then the idea that the knowledge sector is this creative and flexible class. I mean, California is struggling right now, but we're definitely going to lead the world in e-mobility, renewable energy, cell therapeutics. So our ability to keep pivoting is pretty strong. I think our bigger threat is the sustainability of the Bay Area and LA from a living standpoint.
What kind of partnerships does Sacramento have with the Bay Area?
Well, we're very intimately engaged with the venture capital community. You know, we just recently had a startup at Old Sac. Azura Games announced that they've received $15 to $20 million out of Andreessen Horowitz, which is one of the gold standards. So Silicon Valley does most of the follow-on investing in the Sacramento area, along with New York and Washington, D.C. And then, of course, you know, we have to build our own early stage financing model, which is why Mineta Ventures and the Growth Factory have been so important to our local community's economy. You know, we also exchange workforce. About 20 to 25% of our workforce is to and from Silicon Valley. So Sacramentans, there's, 145,000 native Sacramentans that live in Silicon Valley, working in the tech sector. And we share, you know, about 90,000 people in Silicon Valley get their W-2s out of Sacramento, and upwards to 150,000 in Sacramento get their W-2s out of San Jose, Palo Alto. So it's a lot more virtual and seamless and a much more common labor, capital, and logistics market than people realize.
Given that we're talking about a symbiotic relationship between the Bay Area and Sacramento, you also expressed concerns about in the future about the startup industry. And you just talked about a startup, you know, announcing like something big happening, and they announced it in Old Sacramento. Do you think with the layoffs and with the bank failure, what is the impact do you think it'll be will be had to the startup community here in Sacramento?
I mean, I think the bank failure I'm worried about because I don't know a bank other than Silicon Valley Bank that understands how to sit down with five 25-year-old engineers coming out of UC Davis and Sachs Davis and bank them. I know Five Star, one of our local community banks, River City Bank. I know we got some local community banks that are working through how to be the bank of choice for the startup communities. But Silicon Valley Bank had it down pat. They really understood how to do it. So the banking service is probably the biggest impact. As far as the softening of labor, I mean, that was probably a correction needed. Obviously, we don't want that to be, you know, so systemic that we can't, you know, grow our economy. But it's a pretty strong opportunity for us to draw talent into Sacramento, backfill some of our labor shortages here. So I think it's got an element to it that's very helpful.
Do you also see an opportunity to lure talent to the Sacramento area in light of the layoffs that are happening in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I really do. I mean, if you look at, you know, Forbes rating Sacramento, the number one livable city in California now, if you look at the Farm to Fork food scene here, obviously we're still coming out of COVID a little bit. Our downtown's been battered, but I really think this is the era of Sacramento. And, you know, when I think about all the cities in California, and we're pro California, we sell and market and fight for California first. I just think we're in the unique position to gain an advantage we've never had before because we're managing our quality of life, plus elevating our technology community. Our universities have been elevated dramatically, Sac State and UC Davis. Obviously, our workforce systems are lagging. You know, we need to completely reconstruct those. But I think we're on track to, you know, establish our reputation nationally and in California as the place to be.
Finally, Barry, I mean, you just mentioned UC Davis. You just mentioned Sac State earlier when you're talking about startups. You're talking about engineers and scientists that are just graduating from college. How are you working with our local universities to make sure that our local talent stays local and doesn't go away?
That's really important because, you know, historically we didn't pay attention to that. So, you know, we used to only keep 10% of UC Davis graduates, which was the worst performance in the country for a community. And when you've got one of only 10 research universities in America doing $1 billion in research, I mean, hanging on to that talent is crucial and critical. So Aggie Square, which is a, you know, $1.5 to $2 billion life science investment between Wexford and UC Davis in Oak Park in the city of Sacramento, is an example where the university is partnering with industry. And the relationship between those two will lead to kids, our best kids, staying in town and working in the science community. On the Sacramento State side, we've been working to develop something called the California Mobility Center, which is a high-tech engineering platform to design and build hardware for the modern carbon-free mobility sector, whether that's hydrogen or electric vehicles. Getting Sac State engineering schools into mobility and getting mobility companies here and having the design relationship between Sac State engineers and that industry is going to keep our scientific and engineering talent here. So those two objectives, as much as that's tax base and jobs and equity in our middle income economy that we have to produce, it's also geared around making sure our best students graduate and stay in Sacramento.
Barry, thank you for the conversation.
Thank you very much.
Barry Broom is president and CEO of the Greater Sacramento Economic Council. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.